Morning. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 8. We're going to just read a couple of verses here and there. Okay, Daniel chapter 8, verse 15. Daniel 8:15. And it came about when I, Daniel, had seen the vision that I sought to understand it, and behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Ulai, and he called out and said, Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision. So he came near to where I was standing, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, Son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. Now while he was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and made me stand upright. And he said, Behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. And then go down to verse 27. Then I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days. Then I got up again and carried on the king's business, but I was astounded at the vision, and there was none to explain it. Go on, chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. And so I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from thy commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to thy servants, the prophets, who spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to thee, O Lord, but to us open shame. As it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are nearby, and those who are far away, and all the countries to which thou hast driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against thee. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. We'll just stop there. So going back, talking about men and women of Revelation and, you know, the kind of people that God talks to, that seemingly seems that God talks to them more. You know, there seems to be certain characteristics or maybe even better. So there seem to be certain things that some of these men and women do that creates an openness for them to really receive what God is saying to them, you know. And Daniel definitely is in this category, you know. And Daniel, the reason why I chose him today, and you know, out of this heading, is that if you look at you actually have to read the whole chapter, you know, or the whole book to really grasp it. But I think one of Daniel's key attributes in his ability to hear from the Lord, there's a couple different ones, you know. But one I'm going to highlight. One is that he was extremely faithful. You know, and so if you look especially in historical context of his life, you know, he served under three different reigns, right? I mean, that is just crazy. You know, I'm American, and so we just had midterm elections, right? And, obviously it's a referendum against Obama, and now the whole House and everything has shifted. I mean, that happened in 2 years. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? I mean, a whole wave. I actually was watching, 2 nights ago, I was watching a documentary on Obama, you know, and when he came into the office. You know, and I saw all these people, they were so excited, all these things. And I was thinking the whole time, I wonder what these guys are doing now, 2 years later. You know, as most people have abandoned Obama. You know, and I mean, that's just 2 years. Can you imagine, you know, in Daniel's time, he is operating under three different kingdoms. You know, and within, you know, you had Nebuchadnezzar, you had Darius, you know, Cyrus, very different individuals, right? And basically, the transfer of power occurred not because people voted. It occurred because people died. You know, and so one kingdom came against another kingdom and, you know, beat that kingdom. And so they took over the territory and everything else. And even with that, Daniel was always promoted to be the number one guy in each of those kingdoms. You know, I mean, that historically in itself is pretty amazing. Then you add on the fact that he's actually a Jew, right? And then it's just mind-boggling, you know, what God does through a man that is just completely faithful. You know, and if you go through Daniel, you'll see that, you know, a lot of people around him were very jealous, you know, at the favor of the Lord that was on his life. You know, and they try to trap him many things. And if you know, I'll always say, but Daniel was faithful in all of his house, right? That there was, you know, Daniel, he was always faithful. You know, he always served the king's vision, you know, and God gave him incredible favor, you know, in that way, right? You know, I mean, there's a really profound statement there, you know, about, you know, serving someone else's vision, you know, for a season of time or as God lays upon us, you know, and seemingly God brings the favor of the Lord upon our lives when we do that. That's another thing. But the real key, the real takeaway, well, I'll just share another one. Another aspect of Daniel, right, is that he was consistently repentant. You know, he never thought of himself as being better than anyone else. You know, and so I made sure we read a chunk of chapter 9 because, you know, he's really, in all honesty, he's really the only faithful one in Israel. You know, he's really the only one that's really seeking after, you know, his people and these things. And then when God gives him the vision, you know, and, you know, shows them what's going to happen to his people and the world, you know, he immediately takes the posture of repentance, you know, and if you look especially at chapter 9, I mean, just go through it when you can, right? Notice all the, we have sinned, it's us, Lord, you know, and he could have very easily said, Israel has sinned, you know, or they have, you know, but he made it a point that he also was included. You know, and he, in this way, this is kind of like a early picture of what we call identificational repentance. You know, he identified with the people and he repented on behalf of the people and himself as well. You know, and so he comes and, you know, Lord, it was we who have sinned, you know, we have not listened, you know, to us is open shame, you know, we disobey the voice of the Lord. You know, we have not sought the favor. He's including himself, and he is completely repentant, you know, as he goes about this thing, right? So he's faithful, he's repentant. But I think, right, so get to the meaty part. I think by far, in my personal humble opinion, right, I think that the reason why God spoke to Daniel specifically, you know, during this period, and he was a man of revelation, is because he always made himself available to the Lord. You know, he made a point just to make himself available. You know, and, you know, like in verse 15, you know, or verse of chapter 8, I sought to understand it, you know. Let me see. The beginning of chapter 9, you know, verse 3, I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, and I prayed to the Lord. You'll find this to be, you know, throughout the book of Daniel, you'll find this to be a major mode by which Daniel operated. He was always, you know, he talked about it's the hour of prayer, or he talked about the time of the evening offering, you know, and so Daniel had a very specific prayer rhythm. You know, he had a very specific mode by which he operated. He knew that at this time was the hour of prayer. This time was the hour of the sacrifice. At this time, you know, and he was constantly making himself available to the Lord. You know, and, you know, interestingly enough, you know, in the process, as he's made himself available, and so he's there and he's praying, he's doing his thing. And then next thing you know, just an angel would show up. You know, I mean, just out of the blue and basically interrupt his prayer time, you know, and, you know, like the one in chapter 8 where, you know, he sees the man on the other side and says, hey, Gabriel, you know, it was probably Jesus, right, you know, tells, hey, Gabriel, why don't you go tell him what's going on in the world right now, right? I mean, just totally interrupts his prayer time, to bring the revelation of what he was seeking after. You know, and so, you know, constantly, right, whatever was going on, he, you know, God was speaking to him because he made himself available, you know. And now we could say, man, you know, I'm so busy, you know, I got so much going on. Trust me, you're not number one in the kingdom, you know. If Daniel can do it, my goodness, right? You know, and it's not like they have email, you know, and telephone systems back then. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, it's pretty tough to communicate as it is, you know. And he's in charge of a whole kingdom. It's been said, you know, through the reign of Darius, you know, and others, that the king, I mean, it was just so wide reaching, you know, the kingdom was, you know, at those times, right? And he found a way to pray and to seek God's face, you know, regardless of time, you know, regardless of, you know, anything else that was going on around him. And he made it a point, right? You know, because really, ultimately, what does availability speak to us about, right? You know, I had a someone came over, it was a couple nights ago, you know, for dinner at our place, you know, and we're just talking, and he said something which kind of surprised me, you know. And he was sitting there, and he was just basically saying, wow, you know, I'm just really blessed to be here, you know, blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. You know, and he says, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's probably a lot of people at church that would really covet, you know, coming over to your house to eat, you know, with the pastor. You know, and I think it's no big deal. But you can see how in some people's minds it may be, you know. But, you know, just the fact, in our conversation, just the fact that we're making ourselves available, you know, to him and, you know, the stuff that was going on and whatever the case may be, right? I mean, it says something, right? You know, it definitely said, to us, it was really no big deal. But to him, it really was very meaningful, right? And in our own lives, too, when people spend time with you, you know, when they make themselves available to you, it says something, right? You know, it says, one, it says that there's friendship. You know, it's basically, you know, it's the language of being a friend, right? That we're available to one another. You know, on Sunday, you know, I talked about just some tips of how to minister to people going through the desert. You know, and, you know, one of the aspects, you know, one of the points we shared was like, hey, if you need anything, I'm there for you. That's basically an invitation to availability, right? You know, and it speaks volumes to us. Right? You know, and so in the same way, when we say, God, I'm available to you, it says something. It is so meaningful. You know, because obviously we know God is always available to us, right? And that's why we love him. You know, but when we in turn say, God, I am available to you. You know, I am here. You know, and I'm gonna sit here, you know, I'm gonna wake up early, you know, I'm gonna do whatever. And really, more, it's a seal of the friendship. You know, it's also a seal of your priorities as well. You know, it basically says that I'm just not only your friend, right, but I'm a good friend, you know, and that you're a priority in my life, you know. I mean, how many of us have been hurt? I mean, just very honestly speaking, right, how many of us have been hurt, you know, when, you know, you counted on someone or you thought someone was, you know, in a strong relationship with you or whatnot, right? Because they didn't make themselves available to you, you know, because, you know, you were not a priority in their life, right? You know, I could relate to this, you know, personally, right? You know, and, you know, being in relationships with people, you know, and you just feel like, you know, other things are more important. You know, work is more important. You know, I mean, this back then, this would be, you know, during my schooling years, right? And school was more important, or, you know, I used to always, you know, on the other flip side, I used to always get, you know, disagreements because, you know, for me, sports was more important than a lot of things, right? You know, and it could hurt, right? You know, you're dating right now, and you know, if you are, or you're married or something, what if your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, just enjoys other things, you know, and it seems like those things are more of a priority. It hurts a little bit, right? And you know, I'm not saying God is hurt, you know, but I wonder sometimes, right, that especially, you know, for our lives, you know, that these are the very things that he's given to us, and we use that as an excuse, you know, not to spend time with him. You know, he's given us our work, right? And now our work becomes the priority of our life. You know, it doesn't mean that you chuck your work, you know, I mean, you be faithful in that, but that's not the priority of your life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is, you know, and I mean, there's something significant about that, right? And Daniel, he just made himself available to the Lord, right? It wasn't just that he received a vision or something. He really pressed into God to seek the meaning of that vision, right? You know, for a lot of us, there's not that heart to do that. You know, there's not that heart to really press in, you know, into the things of God in that way. And as a result, you know, we don't get to hear that much, unfortunately. You know, but he's always seeking to listen. He's always seeking that place, you know, where God can really pour in, and that more than anything else, that he can get understanding, right? That he can really receive something from the Lord in that way. And not just for himself, but for his whole country and really for the whole world. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. If God is your friend, if he is a priority in your life, let me encourage you today that you make yourself available as Pastor Nate leads us in a song. Let's make ourselves available to the Lord.
Oh, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. For I desire to worship.
Let's pray for ourselves and our community. Let's pray for a real heart to make ourselves available to the Lord. Right? This is something that is absolutely 100% in your control. Right? You can't pawn this off to anyone else. Even the word availability, it's the ability to avail. Right? It's your ability. You can do it. It really is more than anything else. It's a heart issue. And so let's make ourselves available to the Lord that He may do all that He needs to do in our lives. Let's pray for ourselves, our community around us in that way. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight, Conduit Road and Kennedy Road and Pacific Place. Let's ask God to let's really breathe life into these house churches and into the leadership. And we just really have a significant time of ministry tonight. Let's just lift them up right now. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for Indonesia. Let's ask God to continue to bless this country and the Holy Spirit would breathe life. Let's pray for the Favorite Ministry. Now let's pray for Pastor Selamat and Mimi and their whole family as they minister. Pray for just the hand of God, just the favor of the Lord and the anointing to flow through their lives, and that we'd see thousands of Indonesians get saved here in Hong Kong. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our church move and our building fund and everything that goes alongside. We just actually heard yesterday that the Vine is definitely moving at the end of, right around Chinese New Year. And so, but then we got to figure the rest out. But they're definitely moving. But they don't know what they're going to do with their place yet. They still might keep it. So, well, at least we know the timetable. So let's really pray. You know, I know there's a couple other churches that are also very interested in the site as well. And so let's just pray for God's favor. You know, let's pray, continue to pray for our fundraising, especially people that are really believing the Lord in terms of their pledges, that we would really press into prayer, you know, on that regard. And so let's just lift up this whole situation and just pray for God's favor in our church in that way. Lord, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you, God, that you've helped us this morning, God, to make ourselves available to you. God, this is God, what we always want to do, Lord. God, we don't want to get so busy with the things that you've given to us, God. And we don't want to lose sight of the priority of our heart, God. Lord, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. God, help us to fulfill, God, this great commandment of yours, the greatest commandment. And let us not get sidetracked, God, and bogged down by the little details, Lord. We want to focus on what number one is, Lord, our first priority, which is you. Watch over us, God, and just continue to bless your people, God, and help us to be a blessing to those around us, Lord. Draw us to you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, guys. Have a great day today.